AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Matt Hunter here today.
Hello.
Hello. 952. I wasn't expecting you to say hello. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. You know, Hunter, you know how you... Okay, let's just give up, I think, the ghost here as far as driving goes. If I'm like on a 60-mile-an-hour road, I generally drive about 70 miles an hour. And by the way, I'm not the only one. Before police say, I get it, I know, but it's speed of traffic there, I'm pretty much going with everyone else.
Yeah, going with the flow.
Kind of, yeah, that's exactly it. And I mean, I'm sure there's some people that I'm driving 55 in the far left lane because that's the law. Well, okay. You sure make everyone happy. But, you know, I think most people are somewhere around me. I'm, for the most part, I probably am, if you drive around 70, I think you're pretty much going with most people drive a little faster than others, maybe, but not outrageously fast, which always makes me wonder when I see people who are doing light speed down the highway, and I always ask the question, are you doing this the one time? Are you just really late? Because I've been late and I've driven like a maniac too. Or is this your version of the 70? You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. Are you like Boston driver where you're 95 miles an hour on the sidewalk and shoulder as you go down the highway there? Because I'm just amazed at how many people will drive that speed, considering there is law enforcement kind of everywhere. And whereas, hey, I've driven past law enforcement at 70 and you tap your brakes and pretend to play nice. I think they'll, okay, that's not fine. But they're not going to let you go if all of a sudden, you know, Han Solo is driving the Millennium Falcon past them.
Yeah.
You're doing the Kessel run and how many parsecs I have?
12 parsecs.
12 parsecs. Going for 11 this time. I don't know. I mean, are you a fast driver? Do you drive?
No.
No? You're pretty, I have friends who are, I drive, if it's 60, they'll do like 62, 63.
I learned my lesson when I was 18 and I got 3 speeding tickets in like 3-4 months. And then I thought they were just the fees. And then I realized my insurance skyrocketed from it. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to speed anymore.
What was the fastest you were caught doing? Come on, tell the truth.
There was one time that was like,
were you Wile E. Coyote speeding?
Yeah, that time was bad, but they didn't clock me at the fastest.
What were you doing?
It was like almost 100.
Oh, I got when I was okay. So I'm up. Have you ever driven from Minneapolis up to the Iron Range?
No.
You go 35 up to 33 through Cloquet up to 53, and then it gets up to the range, right?
Mm-hmm.
One time I opened up my mom's Audi on that. I think I got to about 120 before I kind of scared myself into to slowing down at that point. I was a little concerned. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. You're more than welcome to watch us. Hello, visual people with eyes. You can watch us on the Facebook live stream. That's right. That is not a large jar of marshmallow fluff. That is indeed me. You can see us. If you go to Facebook, go to AM950 Radio. We are broadcasting live there. Of course, you have the Twitter and Facebook via Matt McNeil Show on Twitter, Progressive Citizen X, Matt McNeil Show on Facebook, and, of course, comment at AM950Radio.com, comment at AM950Radio.com. Who wants some hot money? Fargo Forum's Helmut Schmidt. Seriously, your name is Helmut Schmidt. Really? Wow. At least 7 people were treated at the Monoman Health Center after money used to pay for an item at a local gas station and convenience store injured an employee. Yesterday, according to the Monoman County Sheriff's Office, emergency workers, including a hazmat team from Moorhead, descended on the Community Co-op Cenex store at 59 and Minnesota 200 after a clerk felt burning on her hand after accepting cash from a customer paying for an item, the sheriff's office said in a news release. Okay, did the other guy not notice the acid bills? Or was he,
I would like to buy this Twix bar.
Was that guy? Well, sure. Whoa, your money's hot.
I know. I had that wallet in my outside pocket at the office. My bad. Honey, did you want to get one of those strawberry crushes? They're delicious, aren't they? Great. All right, add that on there. Thank you.
So, okay. Presuming the guy was not Marty McFly as he just went back to 1955 in the plutonium outfit, how was this guy's hands not flame on Johnny Storm as he handed the bill over to the guy? How deadened are your nerves? I'm going to guess it's a meth operation. What, you know, I don't know of the ins and outs of it, but burning hot money, there's got to be something in the money.
Sounds like it.
Needless to say, apparently, once he gave the bill to the customer going, ow! The customer ran without his Twix bar and his strawberry crush back, and they have yet to identify him. I'm presuming, well, I guess I shouldn't presume that they have cameras out there. I mean, for God's sakes, they got a cafe in St. Cloud that's themed after the Friends TV show. There apparently is a time warp as you go a little bit further out in the state. So, I mean, I guess they could not have cameras there. I'm not sure. I saw that story too. Really? Cutting edge humor, huh? The Gilligan's Island theme restaurant wasn't available to you? Really? 952-946-6205. So if you get a bill from a guy and it's like, oh my God, my hand's on fire, call the police and get yourself to a hospital. Apparently, that is not good. 952-946-6205. So I want to start off with, yesterday, Hunter, we didn't get to Richard Painter till the very end of the show. We had Jack on talking about whether or not Trump actually did deserve the Nobel Peace Prize for North Korea. Both of us said, oh, God, no, nope, no, no. But we did eventually get to Richard Painter. Now, Richard Painter, once again, was a lawyer under a Republican president, under W. He has launched a bid to be the Democratic nominee to replace Tina Smith in the Senate. And the response I've gotten from the listeners has been interesting, to say the least, because I tell the truth, I don't think this guy has been a pretty avid anti-Trump guy. But there are going to be a lot of people who are going to be somewhat skeptical of a guy. I mean, Arne Carlson would not jump from the Republican Party. He would not become a Democrat. Arne Carlson would not become a Democrat. He's been a very vocal anti-Trump person, but he would not become a Democrat. And so people are wondering, is this legit? Now, I talked a little bit yesterday with McAtee before he got into his show. Painter went out there and he put forward a fairly progressive platform, including, I think he said, single payer for healthcare, which, you know, well, I guess that's not the strangest thing. I mean, Mitt Romney, that came from Mitt Romney in Massachusetts. I mean, he was the Republicans first came up with a single payer expansion. Ta-da! So I guess it's not too odd, but I mean, there definitely were some things which he seemed to even be more to the left than Tina Smith is. But of course, then he attacked apparently Tina Smith's husband, which, you know, put off some, you know, people. I didn't catch that exactly, but I'm not mistaken. Richard Painter is going to be on with Mike McAtee at the beginning of the next hour, correct?
Yep.
So make sure you stay with us. But now I want to open it up. What do you think about this? And I really do wonder, what do you think about Richard Painter? Do you think it's legit, or do you think it's like we talked about yesterday? There are people running in the Green Party who are actual Republican plants to try to basically peel off votes from the Democrats. And you can talk about Jill Stein all day long. I mean, she had this. I posted this interview or the story up on the Twitter and the Facebook page right before I came on the air here about how she, you know, she's refusing to condemn Russia's interference in the election, which pretty much everyone agrees happened. And yet here she is, she's refusing to condemn it. And there comes a point where you have to ask the question is, you know, considering she was sitting at a table next to Vlad Putin in Moscow, and clearly this was a multifaceted attack upon the American election system. Was the Green Party under under Jill Stein, was Jill Stein basically corrupted by the Russians? And was she part of this whole ploy? I haven't seen, by the way, Democracy Now, who championed Jill Stein a lot. I haven't seen them take on that issue too late, lately. Just FYI. Just an observation. Just an observation. You know, you'd think that the person that you championed as much as you did, you might want to actually do maybe an investigation into. That's just me. That's just me. You know, that's just me. I could be wrong. Gary is in Minneapolis. Welcome on in, Gary Bear.
Yeah, Matt, when you were talking about cops watching us drive, it made me think of expand on that. Just imagine how much more speeding and drunk driving there'd be without the cops regulating us. And I expanded that to the Republican battle cry, deregulate and get the government off the rich people's back. And they're greedy. They just don't want to regulate any of the rich things. That goes for the gun corporations and for all these other, the rich grabbing everything. But they regulate us. The unions are pretty much shot because of their policies. The women, they regulate them, and you can go on and on how they lock up all these low-income people in this country for petty stuff.
Thanks, Gare. Mind you, we started that intersection talking about police and speeding. I just want to make sure that was about 45 seconds of pure gold from Gare Bear. I love you, Gary. But yeah, that was a lot in there. I do thank the police officers. I'm sorry I do speed a little bit. I'm going to presume you're going to be waiting for me outside the station once I get done with the show. Not the first time. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. Also, I got to get to Betsy DeVos here, too. Apparently, she's surprised the teachers aren't too happy with her. We'll talk about that in a second. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Ken Hagelin, president of Minnesota Hospice, inviting you to listen to our new show airing on AM 950 on Saturdays from noon to 1. Our team from Minnesota Hospice will be discussing Lifting the Veil, Revealing the Spiritual Truth About Dying and Death, where we share insights on the many spiritual aspects of this universal experience. Please join us Saturday from noon to 1 for the new Minnesota Hospice show and learn more about us online at minnesotahospice.com.
Hello, fellow AM 950 listeners. This is Jasia from Nightingale at 26 Lindale. My wife and chef Carrie and I invite you to enjoy our local seasonal fare, along with thoughtfully chosen wine and beer lists, a refreshing cocktail selection, and continued dedication to outstanding service. Nightingale's freshly remodeled patio is perfect for dinner, happy hour, brunch, and late night fun. We offer our full menu every day from 4 to 1 a.m., 2 award-winning daily happy hours, and weekend brunch at 10. More at nightingalempls.com.
This is Pat with PJW Automotive in New Brighton. I've been in business long enough to know that if you want to stand out, you better be the best. That's why I've assembled a top-notch team of automotive specialists who do the job right the first time. Bringing your car or truck to PJW Automotive is an investment in the future of your vehicle. Try us once and you'll see it's worth the drive to PJW Automotive. One exit north of 694 on 35W and online at pjwauto.com.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Anytime is the right time to update your music collection, so stop in at the Electric Fetus and browse their massive selection. You'll find everything from rock and pop to international and roots, and so much more on CD and vinyl. Not only is Electric Fetus the best stop for music, but they also carry a wide and unique range of gifts. Bath products, clothing, books, stationery, candles, incense, you name it. That's the Electric Fetus at 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
mentioned, you can watch the show. And hello, Maryland. Hello, Deborah. And hello, Lisa, who writes on the live stream feed here. I used to caucus with Gary, but the district lines changed. He's no longer in my district. He is so fun. Gary is one of my favorite human beings ever. Hands down. I love Gary. He is fantastic. She also went on to chime. Jill Stein seems guilty of something. And presuming that she's talking about Richard Painter, I like what he's saying, but I'm not sure if I will support him or caucus, primary him in the caucus. So, yeah, you know, what I found to be interesting about the comments were they ranged from, I'm going to say 70% of the people that are commenting, maybe 60%, really don't like him running. Do not like him running. I'd say 30 to 40% are okay with him. And of that 30, 40%, you know, 10% of over the overall seem excited that he's running. And I think that's because he has been one of these very vocal guys. Richard Painter's been one of these very vocal guys who has been bashing the living daylights out of Trump every chance he gets. I mean, he is, to a point, he does remind me a little bit of Arne Carlson, and it's just, this is not my political party. This is not where my political party was supposed to go. This is not who we are. And so, yeah, I get that. I mean, it's there is something that's nice about a guy that looks like he at least has some principles and morals. Now, could this be, as one or two people have suggested, some sort of long game here where he, the minute, you know, he came in as a plant, immediately just, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to make all these comments negative against you just so I can run and, you know, destroy the chances for the Democrats to win a Senate. I mean, that's a reach. I mean, reminder, the Franken seat was not supposed to be necessarily open until Franken had his issues. So Franken seat wouldn't have been available till 2020. There's no way in the world Richard Painter would have run against Klobuchar. I mean, come on, really? I mean, is Neuberger polling even like 10% at this point? Is he? You know, it's so he wasn't going to run. So if you're saying that from the get-go, he was pretending to be an anti-Trump guy because he knew eventually this seat was going to be open and there'd be a primary and all this stuff, I'm not buying that. But that being said, my God, I mean, Democrats, come on. I don't blame you for being a little shy about this whole thing. What we just went through, and I mean, I went back and listened to a few of the older shows from back in 2016, and just hearing myself saying, "What the heck are you people doing?" You know, and to hear people like, "I would rather Donald Trump win because he'll be so much better than Hillary Clinton." And I mean, I was able to at least weed out these Republicans, or excuse me, these Russians who were pretending to be Democrats pretty easily. But I had a lot of Democrats out there who were just being drug around like a mule on this one. I don't blame you. That's a hard thing. That's a hard thing. We talked about Jill Stein. You know, I mean, it's becoming more and more apparent to me, at least, that there's something rotten there. That something's going on. The fact that she is frantically trying to hide, and the fact that there's the Green Party seems to be the impromptu party for Republicans who want to run a candidate against the Democrats from the left. That's where they're going. They're not, you know, running a progressive candidate as an independent. That they seem to be able to get within the Green Party pretty darn easy. I don't know. I'm not sure, but I don't blame you. If you want to know the truth, I'm not going to sit here and say you're crazy or you're loony. I'm not. Because we should be skeptical. We in Minneapolis, there were people that were running for Minneapolis City Council who clearly seemed to have some interesting elements to their background which didn't seem to add up. And the one guy that was claiming he was a progressive, he ran as a Republican. I think it was in Plymouth. Wasn't that one guy in Plymouth running as a Republican? And I am not quite going to say that, that people should just be completely and totally accepting of that. I'm not going to necessarily buy that. But at the same time, I will say this. It's one thing to put forward a platform which makes it sound Democrat. But I think of Norm Coleman. Remember Norm Coleman? I remember Normie. Oh, I remember Normie. Remember, do you remember Little Sad Weepy Man over in St. Paul? The Democratic Party has left me. I'm a Republican now. And I said to myself, okay, wait a minute here. Okay, everything changed overnight? Like your policy on the environment? I mean, which you're saying that now you are no longer for preserving the environment. You're for, you know, clear cutting and pipelines and mining the living daylights. That just changed overnight? Because the Democratic Party was never there. You just basically made it into something bad. Education? All these issues? No. You didn't change. The party never left you. You were an opportunist who basically realized your path to win a Democratic nomination was going to be harder than it would be to become a Republican and run on that ticket. Kind of the Colin Peterson thing, as a Republican who ran as a Democrat. And so you're comfortably happy to kind of go out there and say, oh, look at me, I'm now completely changed. Now, if I was a Republican and I looked at Norm Coleman at that point, the first thing I'd say is, are you saying you abandoned all your policies? I don't know if I trust you. The Republican Party, though, as we've learned, is basically betrothed to the letter R. They see the R next to the name. They vote for them. I think it's a fair question to ask, you know, are you legit? I mean, is this above board? I mean, I know Mike's going to, you know, Mike is the guy to, of all the, I mean, you want me to interview someone of important stature? Come on. My fly's not even on up right now. I'm just going to let you know. I mean, I got one shoe on because I came running out of the house too fast. I'm not the guy. Mike's going to be interviewing Richard Painter. That comes up here in next hour. He'll obviously get to a lot of questions. But, you know, as Mike pointed out, he's running as the Democrat, which means he is going to hold true to the primary. So if the primary goes with Tina Smith, he has vowed that he is not going to run as an independent. He'll just accept that and support Tina Smith, you would presume. So we'll have to see. 952-946-6205. I do believe Jill Stein's, something's wrong there. And have you noticed that, I mean, the Green Party seems to be in chaos right now, in ruins, if I can say so. It reminds me a lot of the Independence Party and what's going on there. Because, you know, frankly, if I was a Green Party member, and I'm not, and I believe in the environment, I'm not a Green Party member. My personal evaluation is you have to have more than just a, you know, one or two policy platform. You have to be in a country the size of the United States of America with the wealth and the importance of what we have in this country. You have to be more than just green energy. I believe in green energy, but I believe in a lot more other things too. The party is, I don't know. If I was a member of the Green Party, I would be demanding answers myself. And I don't know if Jill Stein just has taken that party over and completely shut down any dissent within the ranks or what. But I used to have friends who would post all the time about the Green Party. And I went up there, I was looking at their timelines last week or so, nothing. It doesn't even look like they're active in politics anymore. And these used to be the people that four times a day I'd be getting some sort of Green Party thing. I'm not saying there aren't some people out there that believe in the Green Party, and that's great. That's you should do that if you believe in that. I'm just saying that, you know, this Jill Stein thing, if I was a member of the Green Party, I would demand answers immediately because that could take the entire party down right now. And it seems like the mentality is to shut down conversation as opposed to actually address the, you know, the Jill Stein, you know, question in the room. Jim is in St. Paul. Let's take Jim in before we get into the break. 952-946-6205. Welcome on in, Jim.
Thank you, Matt. You know, as far as Mr. Painter goes, I really, I've been paying attention to him for a long time. And I'll tell you something. This Trump and this lying piece of crap that's our president has turned politics in this country on its head. And I think somebody like Painter who's been somewhere and has ethics and can, you know, can say to these people, what's going on under Trump is such an outrage, and he's doing so much damage to this country that I'm ready. I'm ready to listen to anybody, and I'll tell you something that I can't believe that there are such a thing as Trump supporters. The man stands for nothing but greed. He lies every time he gets a chance to open his mouth. And we've got to stand up to him. The damage that he's doing to the environment, to the laws, to everything in this country.
Jim,
I tell you, Matt, I love everything you say because at least you stand up to him. But you're one of very few that do.
Oh, I don't. I love giving little Donnie Cheeto there the rundown. Thanks, Jim. I appreciate the phone call. Here's what I'll do. Let me put together what you said at the beginning of that, though. You like Richard Painter. He's a Republican who is furious. There was a time in the 1840s when the Whig Party put in a rule that you had to be pro-slavery to be part of the Whig Party. And there was a lot of people in the Whig Party that were like, no, actually, was it 50 or it might have been 1852. I thought it might have been 48, but I'll check that later. But needless to say, it was right around that time that the Whig Party put in, you have to be pro-slavery to be a Whig. Well, there's a lot of people that are like, no, I believe in what the Whig Party stands for, but I don't believe in that. And they decided, as opposed to run over and take over the Democratic Party at that point, or one of the other parties in the country at that point, they basically started their own party called the Republican Party. And the Republican Party did pretty well. And they ran their first candidate in 1856. That guy got creamed. He was from California. He was a weird guy. But they ran, of course, then there's a guy named Lincoln that they ran in 1860 who ended up being probably the greatest president we ever had because he dealt with the slavery issue. That's the question. I get it that you're furious, but is it as the point is the position from the Democrats? Do we allow just anyone in here that just hates Trump into the party, even though they might not believe in a lot of what the party platform is? Or do we encourage them and say, you know what, here's the deal. We're not going to let you in, but we want to make sure that, you know, if there's enough Republicans out there, old school 1980s moderate Republicans, the fiscal conservatives and the socially liberals, those guys still exist. And if you all of a sudden said, you know what, we're done with the Republican Party. We are done with this party worshiping of Trump. We are done with these gun kooks. We are done with this constant war. We are done with it all. We're done with Christianity being dragged through the mud. We're done with it all. And we're going to go start our own new party, Whig 2 Electric Boogaloo. You'd get votes if you were the Whig 2 Electric Boogaloo Party. I would, you know, think about it at least. But you, if you did that, I mean, I think that we'd all understand it. And, you know, one of the truth is I think a lot of people would applaud that. But I don't know. I mean, what is the path if you're a moderate Republican that's just so angry about where your party has gone? Is it to just basically change who you are and become a Democrat? Or is it just say, I have changed and become a Democrat? Or is it to start your own party? 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Ooh, Betsy DeVos gets her caboose handed to her on a platter. Yay! We can talk about that when we come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can go solar with All Energy Solar, even way up north in Minnesota. Lots of people ask them, isn't Minnesota too cloudy for solar? No. The truth? For one thing, Minneapolis gets nearly as much sun each year as Houston, Texas. But it isn't just about how much sun you get. It's also about having access to great local incentive programs that make solar affordable. Learn what your options are to save with solar and visit allenergysolar.com today.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 on Monday mornings at 7:30. This Monday, I'll talk about Harry and Bertha Holt, who founded Holt International, an adoption agency that's facilitated more than 3,000 international adoptions. In fact, it was the Holts who convinced Congress to pass a law to allow for international adoptions. I've got a better vision of a better world for everyone who has a place at the table. Ellie 2.0 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. My first Toyota love was the RAV4 back in 1998. When I was traveling in February, I needed a rental car, and I jumped at the opportunity to drive one again. The RAV4 is fantastic with all the bells and whistles you need, and it has all the modern safety features to keep us safe, comfort as we vacationed. It fit all five of us and our luggage with ease. I was able to revisit my first love. Now, you can fall in love for yourself by test driving a RAV4 today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169.
Hello, this is Ellen Krug from Hidden Edges Radio. When I'm not on the radio, I'm standing in front of audiences training about diversity and inclusion and on how to be welcoming to others who are different from us. More than ever, employers and organizations need professional diversity and inclusion training. I can offer that training through my company, Human Inspiration Works, LLC. I'd love to make your workplace or organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for mostly cloudy skies today with a high near 72. Tonight, cloudy with a low around 50. Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 67. And Thursday, partly sunny with a high around 71. Tap, taste, and treasure with the oils and vinegars at Vinaigrette. They offer the finest in extra virgin olive oils, balsamic vinegars, fused extra virgin olive oils, and much more. Locations in Minneapolis at 50th and Xerxes and 287 Water Street in Excelsior. More at VinaigretteMN.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Got mail from New York. Hey, Philip. Thanks for the article here. I'll definitely look at that. You're more than welcome to mail us stuff. We still, the Postal Service, shockingly, as much as the Republicans have tried to kill it, it still exists. 11320 Valley View Road, Eden Prairie, Minnesota, 55344 is the mailing address if you so desire. I like it. I'll flirt with you like it's online, only just expect it to go a lot slower. Just it's gonna be a few days downtime lag before I, you know, kind of get the charm going. Okay, all right. 952-946-6205. How did we survive before the internet? I don't know. Burger Mo's is the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. That's how you survive. Delicious burgers. Oh, they got fantastic burgers. The blue cheeseburger over there, phenomenal. Phenomenal. I love that. Well, I just love blue cheese. I do. And I mean, on a good burger, that's nice there. They've got all sorts of great food, panini, shakes, desserts. The great chili dog, too. I've had the chili dog. It's fantastic. 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul. Plenty of free parking. BurgerMo's.com. It's the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Dustin is in Minneapolis. He wanted to chime in on Richard Painter running for Tina Smith's seat. Welcome on in, Dustin. There you go.
Hey, thanks much.
You got it.
So just got to take quick exception to just one thing you said. I agree with you on just about everything, and I'm sure you kind of agree on this too. But and it leads right into how I feel about the Painter thing. So you had mentioned like Republicans of the 80s, the fiscally conservative Republicans of the 80s. I would point out that the Republicans of the 80s were the ones that ran up the debt initially. Mm-hmm. They added a couple hundred billion dollars worth of debt. And basically what happened, sorry, I'm getting my numbers mixed up, but after Reagan was done, we were paying upwards of $200 billion a year on the interest on the debt that he had racked up. So these were not fiscally conservative Republicans all the way back to the early 80s. And my point with Painter is that he's with Bush. He's an ethics lawyer, no less, in an administration that had zero ethics, pushed all the boundaries, doing the same stuff that Trump's doing now. A little bit more conservatively than Trump. Obviously, he's just smashing and burning everything. But these guys have been doing the same stuff since way back. And Painter was with them then. I think he might be with them now. Either way, I'm not ready to just forgive him for something that he was doing 8 years ago, which was absolutely terrible. That's kind of how I feel about that.
Hey, Dustin, thank you very much. And you want to know the truth is that what Dustin just said there about Richard Painter is the same thing I've heard multiple times in the last 24 hours. Just, you know, he was an ethics lawyer for Bush. I mean, come on. Is this what the party is that we're at? And, you know, it's an interesting question. I don't know what you do there. I would hope that before anyone can slap on a D next to their name, or in the state of Minnesota, a DFL next to their name, that they sit down with Ken Martin or someone over there and say, okay, explain how you're a Democrat. And I mean, because I can tell you that should be a standard. And I don't believe we should have a narrow niche of rules than the party. I believe that there is definitely room to have a moderate Republic, or moderate Democratic side, a centrist side, a left progressive Wellstonian side. I believe in that. But I don't believe in just anyone saying, I'm a Democrat. I mean, this is how the Independence Party got destroyed. At their convention, a far-right loon ball took to the floor with about 20 of their friends and basically made him the nominee and killed their Independence Party in the state of Minnesota. And you know why? Because the far right was terrified that guys like Richard Painter would eventually go to the Independence Party and give them a fit here in the state of Minnesota. That Arne Carlson and other former Republicans would go into the Independence Party and be there. So they had to get rid of the Independence Party. And that's why they went out there and purposely sabotaged it. Is that they were terrified. So now they said, well, then you're either a Democrat or a Republican, or you're by yourself as an independent. There's no party to represent. I mean, I'm actually of the mindset more that if you're a Republican and you're frustrated with the Republican Party, you should leave it and start your own party. That's the kind of mentality I have. But I'm just presuming, I'm hoping that the DFL has, someone has sat down with them and said, okay, explain to us how your DFL. Explain what your policies are going to be, your standards are going to be. Jennifer wanted to chime in. She wanted to respond to Dustin. She is in Stillwater. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to say that Richard Painter was only with the George W. Bush administration for 2 years, from 2005 to 2007. So, and he moved to Minnesota in 2007. So he was only there for 2 years. And that 2 years was after, a couple of years after we invaded Iraq in 2003. So I'm not going to, you know, the administration was 8 years, and he was only there for 2 years, you know, at the end. Also, Painter had nothing to do with the Reagan administration. I hate the Reagan administration, and Dustin's totally right about them, but Painter is only 56. He looks older than that, but he's only 56. He was not a part of the Reagan years.
Well, and he was responding, and Jennifer, he was responding to the comment I made about, I remember 80s-era Republicans that weren't necessarily Reagan, or the most hardcore Republicans at the time. But there used to be a lot of Republicans who used to at least be worth talking to on issues, weren't sitting there saying it's my way or the highway and we're taking the most extreme far right policy we can. And as a matter of fact, the Republican Party ran most of those guys out of the party because they went against where they wanted to go. I mean, that started really, the delusional purge started under Newt Gingrich. But back in the 80s, there were still a lot of Republicans who were the fiscal conservatives and the, I mean, the most base argument back then, Jennifer, was that, you know, Democrats believed the government should be doing more to help its citizens. Republicans felt that the government should be doing less and more people, instead of spending money on the government, more money should be given back to the individual and they can decide if they want to spend the money how they want to. That was an honest argument we used to have that no longer, that boundaries of the discussion no longer even exist anymore, anywhere at this point. Jennifer Gunn, thank you very much, Jennifer. I appreciate the phone call. No, the Reagan Republicans were bad on as far as deficit goes, but I don't, for most of them, I think they were like Dick Cheney talking them into invading the Iraq after Iraq did not attack us on 9/11. I think a lot of them were being told by, you know, Republicans. What was the first thing Reagan said? The 11th commandment. Now shall not speak ill will of another Republican. Now, basically, you better do what we say or else. So I think they, you know, I agree the Republicans did some bad things back in the 80s, but are you telling me that you would rather have a modern Republican versus a 1985 Republican? As long as it wasn't part of the Reagan administration, Alexander Haig and those crew, that crew. No, I wouldn't. Yeah, that's not even a question for me. 952-946-6205. A perfect example of it. Betsy DeVos. So she has a little round table. This is our Secretary of Education. Has the little round table with the 50. And this actually was kind of cool. I don't know if they've done this before, but every teacher that won the best teacher in their state, all 50 best teachers met with Betsy DeVos. Of course, at a closed door, because she knew, I think she knew it was coming. But she opened it up and she got an earful. And to the Department of Education's defense, many times people thought they might try to rip the microphone out of teacher's hands, but they never did. And they gave them an opportunity, and especially these Republican teachers, these teachers who support Trump, were looking at her and saying, you're killing public education with this peeling off of funds for vouchers, private schools, and charter schools, and open enrollment. You're killing public schools. Because, and I know some people is like, open enrollment. Well, you know, there's always one hill at the school at the bottom of the hill that no one wants to, that people are open enrolling out of. And they still have 80% of the school population and about 40% of the budget. So overall, open enrollment does not make public schools better. It makes a few of them better. It makes some of them out in the wealthy white suburban communities fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Like almost like colleges, for goodness sakes. But at the end result, at what cost? Well, then go and take a look at some of the inner city schools, which are basically see their budgets cut day after day after day after day, and be told you have to do better with less. No, she got an earful from these teachers, and they all basically said, you're killing public school. DeVos goes on out. Her entire argument basically boils around the notion that, well, if the schools are bad, they can go and open enroll in charter school and voucher and get out of there. And that's their whole point, is that you are never going to be able to voucher open enroll, charter school, or private school, every kid out of a school district, which means, and if by best, and we talked about this last year, by best numbers, you can only really open enroll about 15% of a school population out of the school. So you take basically anyone who's got enough wealth to get out of the school district, leave, you know, open enroll, voucher program, the rest of the better students out of the school, and you're left behind with 85% of the students, 40% of the budget, and basically an argument saying, you got to teach better because teachers are evil. And she got an earful on this. And once again, mind you, Betsy DeVos still has yet to go to a lower income public school in this country. She has been the Secretary of Education for a year. She has not been to the largest, what constitute the largest part of the education system, lower income public schools. She has not been to one since becoming the Secretary of Education. Now, you can sit there and talk about, and Dustin, this is not a criticism of you and your phone call, but I get you. I get where you're coming from to a point, but you're telling me you would rather have Betsy DeVos leading your idea of education versus a 1980s Republican with it? Because I remember a lot of Republicans back then that were actually pretty strong on schools. It doesn't exist today. You know, like the one guy down in Arizona who put out the idea of shooting, opening fire on the teachers who are protesting on strike for better pay. Nice. I will give her this bit of credit. She did listen to it. She did take it in this meeting with the 50 best teachers. But will she ever change? Of course not, because her family is tied up way too much in the money element of how do you siphon public dollars, dollars designed for public schools and for public and for nonprofit entities. How do you siphon those dollars off into for-profit hands? And that is everything that the Republicans have been doing, whether that's a post office, whether that's hospitals, whether that's schools, everything. How do you take money that's designated for the public, government dollars, for the public good, for nonprofit, and funnel that money into a for-profit situation? Prisons. How about prisons, too? There's another one. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let me take a break here. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Damian Strange, Executive Director of Northeast Minneapolis Arts Association, NEMA, and I'm personally inviting you to Arterworld May 18th through the 20th. View artwork of over 650 artists in every medium at more than 50 locations throughout Northeast Minneapolis, including studio buildings, art galleries, homes, storefronts, and local businesses. The artist's open studio tour may include demonstrations, mini workshops, installations, and special exhibitions. Studio tours offer a great opportunity to ask questions, discuss techniques, experience art firsthand, and purchase unique artwork directly from artists. Arterworld gives you a unique opportunity to meet the artists who make our community so vibrant and invest in our art community by purchasing artwork that you connect with. For more information, go to NEMAA.org. That's NEMA.org. Looking forward to seeing you at Arterworld.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
Have you ever wondered what it was like to be an artist in the Soviet Union? I'm Vladimir von Surikov, director of the Museum of Russian Art, and I invite you to explore our exhibition Art in Conflict, running through September 1st. It juxtaposes Soviet socialist realist against nonconformist artists from the latter decades of the Cold War. This is a rare chance to see connections and conflicts inside the Soviet art world. For more information, visit tmora.org.
Hey, Minnesota, Norman Goldman here. Catch me live every weeknight from 5 to 8 p.m. right here on AM 950. Whether it's a recap of the day's news, legal analysis, or teaching civics, justice is always served on the Norman Goldman Show. Today on the show, we once again have to deal with the question of...
You're fired!
Yeah, is the White House Chief of Staff on the way out? He called you-know-who a moron. At least he didn't cuss. But we have a new controversy. Join me every weeknight from 5 to 8 on AM 950.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Out of the Pioneer Press, only 3 out of 10 drivers stop pedestrians crossing streets at non-signal crosswalks in St. Paul, according to city researchers. St. Paul police hope for their Stop For Me campaign, which started Monday, might change that. The campaign will involve officers joining volunteers to hold awareness and enforcement events across St. Paul to highlight the importance of drivers stopping for pedestrians at crosswalks. Multi-threat crashes, which occur when pedestrians cross four-lane roads and a driver pulls around a vehicle that is supposed to be that is stopped for a person crossing the street, also are a focus of the campaign. Does that happen a lot? Where there people are stopped and some guy like, what the hell with this? I'm going to run him over. Does that happen a lot? Now, maybe. My argument would be, you know, your lateness to wherever you need to go is the least of your problems, sir, if that's where you're at in life. Might I suggest a counselor? Really, you really need to seek counseling at that point. In many cases, the driver pulling around a stopped car is unaware that the pedestrian is crossing the street. Why do you think the car stopped, you moron? Not too often. I mean, at like 3 in the morning, occasionally I've seen that. The guy asleep in his car at the stoplight saying, well, good luck with you. Good night there, sir. Tuck you in. I'll leave you a mint on the pillow. But not then. I bring this up for this reason. And we are at the time of the year, Hunter, where people are now back out in force. I mean, it's hard to believe. 2 weeks ago, we were under 15 inches of snow still. 2 inks ago. Yesterday, what was the official temperature yesterday? 82?
Yeah, it was in the 80s.
It was 82 or something like that, 82, 83 degrees. It's gorgeous out there. Everything is greened up. I had my green moment where the first time you see something, it's like, oh my God, it's the green is so beautiful. And it was over at just the center median on Valley View Road. The center median on Valley View Road coming to work yesterday. I was like, it's so pretty. Why is this guy stopped? No, that's but it is that time of year. We are out. We are enjoying things. We're out getting out there. People are getting on bikes. This is a twofold appeal, and I make this appeal pretty much every year. First of all, stop for people in the crosswalk, okay? As a guy who not that long ago had little kids that were on bikes for the first time, and you're trying to cross that street, you're trying to get across, you know, it's nice if you can basically hold your horses, let us get across without the mean leer, without the honking horn, without the kind of acting like we're massively inconveniencing your day because, God forbid, we want to cross the street at the designated crosswalk, okay? But I need to also, I've already run into this twice now, and I need to revisit this one again. I will come to bike crossing area, and as I am at the intersection where the bike crossing, there's a guy whose wheel is basically, he's clearly looking like he wants to cross. We have posted this intersection where you have the right of way. You do. It's a bike cross. If we see someone who wants to cross, you're supposed to stop and let them cross. That's what they're talking about in St. Paul. Do not wave me past. For this reason, first of all, if you want to rest, get out of the intersection. Go 10 feet down the bike path and just rest there, okay? Don't rest in the point where I don't know if this is some kind of game where you're like, I want to see how many people stop for me. All you're doing is telling people the next time, well, I'm not going to stop for the guy. And there are people that are trying to use that intersection as it's designed to be used, who are not playing a game and not wanting to get run over. So, bike guy, if you want to go across that lane, don't wait there and do not wave me past if I have stopped, acting like I'm somehow the jerk because I'm following the law. It never ceases to amaze me, too, the amount of times that happens with cars, where I'll get to an intersection and I'll clearly get there like 2-3 seconds later than the other car ahead of me, and the guy's waving me through. Go ahead there. Like it's a country road. It's not a country road. It's Highway 7 at Shady Oak Road. Now keep moving. What are you doing? You're doing it wrong. Stop it. I don't need there, Jebediah. It's not a tractor. Go. But it is important. And once again, it's for your safety. We have put these bike crossings out there for the bicyclist's safety. You pull up to the intersection. We see you're there. We stop. You go across. We start going again. You know, if you want to take a break, if you don't want to go through the bike intersection, that's fine. That's fine. Don't take a rest right there on the intersection, though. And then act like we're jerks because we're stopping for you when it looks like you're trying to cross the road. All right? Enjoy spring. Mike's up next, and Richard Painter's with him. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.